So then how can we find assurance in the midst of loneliness, despair, maybe even God's discipline? Let God's word reassure you. Let it open up your mind to the spiritual realities that are true, which relate to you in Christ.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, where we have the privilege to listen to the letters and comments from those who hear the broadcast. And today we have a comment from Lynn Marie from Wisconsin. And she says, "This is the first time I've ever heard your program, and I was really blessed by the teaching." Well, Lynn Marie, we are so blessed here to hear what God is doing through His Word, and it's such an encouragement for us to hear from you. So thank you so much.
You know, Greg, today we're going to see through God's dealings with Jacob how He deals with all those who belong to Him.
You know, that's right, Dave. And with that said, let's get right into our study. Turn with us in your Bible to Genesis chapter 28.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And God enables him in the dream to see this sphere. Now, this isn't for us to get focused on angels. They are messengers, as we will see. The focus is not to be on angels. But God does use angels to minister to those who will inherit salvation. There is an unseen world led by the sovereign God that is things going on that we do not see. And God determined that Jacob needed to see this. And by virtue of the scriptures, that we need to see it. Angels are created spirit beings. And sometime after the world was created, we have some angels who fell, a third with Satan, Revelation chapter 12. They're called demons. But here we have angels. These are elect angels, those who are holy and righteous, those that do God's will and perform His bidding. Turn to Psalm 103. There's a whole sphere out there that we do not see. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. He's above all. And notice this, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Angels obey God's word. They serve Him, doing His will. And here we have a ladder, which we'll see the Lord at the top in a minute, with angels ascending and descending. They're obviously under God's sovereign hand, performing His will, doing His bidding. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you don't need to go there, but in Hebrews chapter 1, we know that angels are ministering spirits, verse 14, sent out to render service to those who will inherit salvation. God's angelic beings that He has created, the ones that have not fallen, the elect angels, they are ministering servants for us in accordance with God's commands. And Jacob is all alone, most likely very fearful, and God is showing him something way beyond himself. Way beyond himself. Certainly this would be an encouragement for him. He's not alone. And so often we think we're alone. We think we're alone, or a situation where we're fearful of, physically speaking, whatever it might be. We don't need to fear anything. God is sovereign over these things. And through the eyes of faith, we understand He is sovereign over all. I believe the latter reveals to Jacob the Lord's unseen intervention on his life. The unseen intervention on his life. We don't look to the angelic sphere. We focus on Christ, and these angels do His bidding and His will. Brothers and sisters, when we are lonely, fearful, discouraged, when we are being disciplined and God's hand is heavy upon us, we need to go to God's Word and allow it to illumine our hearts to the unseen realities that God has declared. We get focused on what we see rather than what God has declared in His Word, and we need to allow Him to renew our minds Now, what's really amazing in this passage is we have further explanation from the New Testament concerning this ladder, and it should be very encouraging. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, verse 45, John chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I love this passage. Philip is sharing Christ. And Nathanael, he's a little skeptical, and he's obviously, as we'll see, a little prejudiced. But notice what happens. Verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Isn't that great? Come and see. Yet Nathanael, he does come. He does come. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." This is an interesting statement. Remember, Jacob would be renamed Israel, and he was a deceiver at many times full of guile, wasn't it? You could almost translate this, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob." And notice Nathanael's response, verse 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." This fits in. God sees everything. He is beyond our perception. He sees everything. He is acting upon everything according to his will. He says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And historically, it's known that those who would study the word, Jews who would study the word, would go under a fig tree and study the word. And it's thought in context that Nathanael was probably reading Genesis 28. Notice Nathanael's response, verse 49. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That's the right answer. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." Now listen to this, verse 51. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You're going to see greater things. You think just me knowing and sharing about who you are and what you were doing? You're going to see greater things. Here we see that Jesus Christ reveals now in the New Testament that he is the ladder. He is the bridge between God and man. He is the one. You see, we are sinful, and a righteous, holy God took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life, and he died for our sins. And if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you will have access to the living God through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He is the ladder of Jacob's ladder, or the Lord's ladder. It is through Jesus that God intervenes in the lives of mankind. Certainly there is an angelic element to this. It still talks about the angels going up and down on the Son of Man. But Christ is the one. Dear brother and sister, this life can become scary. We can become lonely. There are things that can cause us to fear, whatever it might be. We need to recognize, even in the midst of God's discipline, that the same God who allows us to go through this is the God who died for our sins. He is the same God who intervenes in our lives and protects us. Heaven came down and glory filled our souls. So when we're tempted to despair, remember what Christ has done, bridging the gap between us and God through the forgiveness of sins. And let the Lord reassure you as he is Jacob here. Now notice back in our passage in Genesis, verse 13, "And the Lord stood above it and said," this is the I Am, the great I Am, the living God. He's at the top of the ladder in this dream. And what does he say? "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." He's reassuring. He's the same Lord that had the relationship with his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. And he reaffirms the promises now directly to Jacob. You think you blew it, Jacob? You're not going to receive the promises? You didn't blow it, Jacob. God is sovereign over this. I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Verse 14, your descendants also shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Now, I'm not going to get into these promises in detail. We've done that all the way since chapter 12. But these are the promises of the land that God promised to give them and the seed, a multitude of descendants. But notice, here's the portion that Isaac left out when he blessed Jacob on his way to Haran. End of 14, and in you and in your descendants, or literally descendant or seed, shall all the families of earth be blessed. In your seed, Galatians chapter 3, the seed is Christ. Someone who would come forth from him. God would take on human flesh, and man, sin-cursed man, man who is in their sin, would have an opportunity to have a relationship with the living God, true blessing, which was lost through sin. Salvation blessing would come to mankind through the God-man, Jesus Christ. So the Lord directly affirms these promises, and notice what he does. He goes beyond this. Verse 15, and behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. Obviously, Jacob needed to hear this. And maybe some of you need to hear this. Even in the midst of his discipline, he says, I'm with you. We'll keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. Jacob needed to know that's where the Lord wanted him to be. I'm going to bring you back. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Tremendous reassuring promises to Jacob, who is alone, fearful, traveling to a foreign land. I'm with you, Jacob. I'm going to keep you wherever you go. I'm going to bring you back. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember this. And notice the Lord affirms that he's going to bring him back to the land. I'll bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Now, obviously, he's not going to leave him relationally speaking, but his special presence in his life in the context of these promises. We're not Jacob. These promises are certainly directed to him to ensure him and encourage him. Yet, brothers and sisters, God has promised us many, many things. And when we are lonely, discouraged, depressed, whatever it might be, when we've confessed our sin, we're in the context of the crucible of God's discipline, when you're tempted to lose heart, let God's word inform your heart concerning the unseen realities. Let him inform your heart concerning his promises. Indeed, after you confessed your sin, let him assure you there are so many promises. Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 2 Corinthians 12, his grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in weakness. 1 Corinthians 10, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but will provide a way of escape that we may endure it. James chapter 1, if we're in trials and we lack wisdom, let us ask in faith and he will give it. Matthew chapter 6, we don't need to worry about food, shelter, and clothing because we're so valuable to him. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let God's word assure you. Let it assure you. That means you got to be in God's word. You're not going to get a dream. We have the completed word of God. Get into God's word. Let him assure you of the unseen realities, that you would believe what God says and trust him. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus Christ intervenes in our lives. And there is a spiritual sphere that he is in control of. And he is intervening here in the life of Jacob. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So then how can we find assurance in the midst of loneliness, despair, maybe even God's discipline? Let God's word reassure you. Let it open up your mind to the spiritual realities that are true, which relate to you in Christ. Now, if you're allowing that to happen, there's going to be response. There's going to be a response and evidence that you truly believe what God has said, and I believe it's worship. Let's look at Jacob's response. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." Jacob was not aware of the Lord's presence. Surely he was here. I didn't get it. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Surely the Lord is active in your life, and many times you don't know it. Jacob responds, "I didn't know it." Brothers and sisters, this is one of the first evidences that you're listening to what God has to say. Because sometimes the Lord seems so far, but then you recognize, no, He is not far. He is not far. My feelings are not correct. The Lord is near. And notice the response. We have godly reverence, I believe, and fear. Verse 17, and he was afraid. Now, I believe that's a reverence there, not just simply a shaking of fear. Because notice what he says. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. There are no other humans nearby. Jacob's sharing this to himself. He was fearful, but I believe reverent in this. How awesome is this place? Later on, he's going to name it the house of God or Bethel. And notice Moses comments on that. Skip up to verse 19. And he called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. But notice he further responds in worship, I believe. Verse 18. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone which he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of the place Bethel. That's the house of God. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. He sets up a memorial to what God had said to him. See, brother and sister, when God has intervened in your life through His Word, you're going to remember it. You're going to want to write it down. You're going to want to write it on your heart. You're going to want to take note to what God has done. Notice the worship continues, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And the stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee." Now this is an interesting portion. It's really hard to interpret. It sounds like Jacob is now making deals again. If God does these things I just saw, then He's going to be my God. But I believe, as do many other conservative scholars, Bible-believing scholars, that this can actually be translated a different way rightly in the Hebrew. It could be translated since God will be with me and keep me on this journey and will give me food and garments to wear and I return to my father's house. And then this portion here also literally can be translated, "And the Lord hath become my God." Since this has happened, the Lord has become my God. He's saying, in effect, because you do this, this is an evidence that you are my God. I think that's what it's saying. Now, if I didn't have the next verse, I would be skeptical. I wouldn't be sure. But the next verse really solidifies it for me. Verse 22. "And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house." He's not saying if it will. He says it will. "And all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee." He's not saying if you give it to me. He's saying all that you give me. You're my God, and I'm going to respond by remembering what you have done and giving you a tenth in the context of faith. Jacob makes a vow to voluntarily give back to the Lord. This is an evidence, I believe, he's responded to the Word of God. I tell you right now, when your life is right with the Lord, you don't need to be prompted to give. You know here, those of you who have been here, we don't ask for money. We don't have sermons on that. But when we see the principles, we apply those. If you're not giving, something's wrong with your walk with the Lord. That's just it. We don't give out of compulsion. But when God has changed your heart, there's a voluntary desire to give back to Him. Jacob voluntarily vows. This is a response to God's Word. And brother and sister, it's not just money that we give to the Lord. We give ourselves to the Lord. The first application of the gospel in Romans chapter 12 is offering ourselves as living, acceptable sacrifices. We are called by the Lord to serve Him and thus serve one another. And if you want to know if God's Word is at work in your life, you're going to desire to give yourself and all that you have to Him. It's His. You're not going to be selfish. You're going to give yourself, whether it's your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever it is. And a lot of times I hear a lot of excuses from people who don't serve. Some out of ignorance and immaturity, some out of rebellion. Some say, I don't know what to do, I don't have time, my work is my service, my family's my serving in this season. But Scripture is clear. As each one has received a special gift, employing it, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When the Thessalonians were saved, they turned to God from idols to serve the one and only true living God. Jacob here is saying, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that you give. It's yours. It's voluntary. You don't have to have your arm twisted to do it. It's an evidence that something has changed in your life. In your life. Jacob has responded to the Lord's assurance. How about you? Is there evidence in your life that you're responding to God's word? If you come here week after week, what's the evidence? Here, Jacob, with little revelation, responds and worships the Lord, believing His word, fearing Him, and voluntarily offering up to Him. Brothers and sisters, this life is full of many, many dangers. We deal with the wickedness of others on a daily basis. We deal with our own sin as we fail. We can find ourselves lonely, discouraged. Maybe it's because of our sin, maybe not. Maybe some of you are experiencing difficulties, whether it's at home, in a relationship, at work, in the body of Christ, and it seems like the Lord is so far. But God is gracious. He's gracious to encourage Jacob with His word, that there is something way beyond what he understands and perceives. And friends, in our lives, there's something way beyond. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is actively working in our lives to bring about His will. Some of you today, you're still in your sins. You're separated from God. He's a holy God, a righteous God, and you're separated from Him, but God sent His Son to bridge the gap. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's some of you in difficult situations. Maybe it's because of sin. Confess your sin. God's discipline may be on you like Jacob, but God is gracious. He's a gracious God. His hand may be heavy on you, but if you're willing to confess your sin and trust in Him, He will comfort you. He's working things out in your life. He's there. Some of us need to go back to Bethel. The Lord hasn't rejected us. He's still in control, but we have walked away from Him. Let God's word assure you. Let it encourage you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. So, Greg, tell us once again, how can we find God's assurance in the midst of trouble?
We find it, Dave, in His written word, the Bible. You see, friend, unlike in Jacob's day, we have God's completed revelation contained in the 66 books of the Bible. So the way that we find His assurance is to be very familiar with what the Bible says and believe it. And friend, there's no shortcut. This is where you have to start. So why not now?
The only way you'll become familiar with what the Lord has promised, who He is, what He is like, and what He has planned for His children is through diligent study of His Word. But the first step is to come to Him through Jesus Christ as a sinner, trusting in His shed blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Will you do that sincerely? If you do, you'll become part of the family. God will give you His Spirit who will teach you and help you understand His written Word. We pray you begin with this now.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.